Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Air Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Air Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theairchurch.org. That's the theairchurch.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
You will realize it's designed to be used down here before you go up there. You see, I'm just glad I'm saved. Long enough, I'm just going to go to heaven. God kind of wants a little bit more from you than that. He literally has equipped you for more than just dying and leaving. If you look at the word of God. Well, he said, weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Am I right? Am I making any sense to anybody? Are you following where we're going? Say, why put me in the army with all this equipment and gear if I don't know my identity, I don't know who the enemy is, don't know my weapons, and don't know how to use them? That makes no sense to me. God, why you put all this stuff in here and then give us a history? Then give us somebody who's walked according to this thing. He said, made you the head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. That's your identity. That's right. Many of us have to fight off our identity. Amen. But you know where? Well, you know, praise God. You know, just like you black in America. You know, you ain't black in America. You colorless and in God. You might be in a black, a brown, a tinted suit. That ain't your identity. Your real identity, you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You're supposed to win no matter what kind of suit you in. God ain't put no blessing on suit colors. Ain't no white blessing and black, no black blessing. If it is, you show it to me in the Bible. It's not in there. The blessing is in Jesus. The blessing is spiritual to the natural. Come on, somebody. See, you got to get this. Amen. I remember I was talking about that one day. You can change everything about how you look. Michael Jackson pulled it off. All you need is the right amount of money and the right chemicals. People can stand up to you and won't know that you who they saw the day before yesterday. I'm telling you the truth. Y'all seen it happen. I called off a couple more Hollywood actors and actresses. You're like, that's so-and-so? They don't look the same. No, they don't look the same color. I better go away from that. You should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's get on back to the word. Let's see, because the power is spiritual. Amen. So anyway, the word says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, verse 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is a very, very, very general statement, and it applies to practically everything. You know what? Every blessing in your life with the promises of God, you need an imagination cluster. God didn't just give one scripture that blessed me physically. He gave multitudes of them. He didn't just have one scripture that blessed me, called me to prosper, walk in prosper. He gave multitudes of scriptures. He didn't just give one scripture, amen, to give me the advantage and blessing of walking in love. He gave multitudes of scriptures that have come out of his mouth. He said, love never fails. He said, perfect love casts out all fear. I ain't got no business being scared. You have no business being in fear. Hallelujah. You're the strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. See, so all of these areas in the word, but here it comes down to the process. Now let me go over where I wanted to share. As we look at the weaponizing process, all right. Now the weaponizing, and we've talked about the faith process, you know, Mark 11:22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Therefore I say unto you, whosoever shall ascend to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall what? come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he would say it. Now, we were talking, who I was talking to? I forgot who it was. There was a term that I used. You have to write stuff down. Write stuff down when God gives it to you so you remember. And it was called the pre-confession era. You ever talk to somebody in the pre-confession era? I mean, I know who I was talking to. Well, there are believers who, you know, they were believers like when you were born. They were in church. They're the one who probably took you to church or whatever. And so now you come into the things of God and you learn about confessing. You have what you say, you know, and you base it on the word of God. And they don't know what you're talking about. Because they're in the pre-confession era of the church world. In most cases, they were denominational. Can I get a witness? They were denominational, like you were. You evolved out of the pre-confession era. You said whatever you thought was. What you mean? Watch my confession. See, because you didn't know what the word said about your confession. Although you were saved, and you were saved by your confession, amen, confession of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're now conscious of the words of God that you say and the words that you say that are not God's word or don't agree with God's word. Can I get a witness? Talking to those out there. So you may have come out of the pre-confession era. That means you hadn't learned the power, the value of words and your words and God's words. You make God's word your words, you'll get what God's word promised. Now, all right, so here, go over to Mark. Go over to Mark chapter 5, if you will. I'm sure this, I'll be through. All right, now, so the dynamics here, when you look at, now, you got to evaluate yourself from where you are and where you're growing from. And this weaponizing, I didn't even look at my weaponizing notes. They're categories. I got major categories. Because in your growth process, weaponizing your word, weaponizing the word of God, it's an ongoing process. When you set goals in your life, you know, financial, physical, relational, ministerial, whatever kind of goals you set, you've got to weaponize them with the word of God. You say, my goal is this, I'm gonna double, triple my income. Give me a scripture and verse. What that means is you got to weaponize it. You got to inject the power in the new word. See, God's word is full of power. Your goals ain't full of power unless you weaponize them with the word of God. Now, they'll motivate you, but you want them supernaturally charged with the word of God. Father, you said you give me the desires of my heart. Weaponize. All right. Whatever your goals are, when you're going in January, weaponize your goals with scripture. Now, we've said this before, but in a different way. Now, in Mark 5, we'll go over here. It was a story, common, popular story to the faith, those of you in the faith people. And, you know, some of you, you hear these scriptures over and over and over. They're still loaded. Are you following? Now, remember what I said to you about repetition. It's designed for you to do this under pressure. When the crowd cheering or when they're not saying anything, you got to do what the word says. You can't just say, I know what that verse is. No, it's got to be more than that. It's got to come out of your mouth under pressure. When you want to say something else, that word will come up in you and you let it come out of your mouth. Weapon, you will realize the weapons of our warfare. If something's coming against you, you're in warfare. What? Use your weapon. Turn to your neighbor and say, use your weapon. Amen. The weapons of our warfare. God didn't tell you to analyze your way out. He didn't tell you to figure it all out. He didn't tell you to do that. He didn't. He said, weaponize. I told you to weaponize. Speak forth the word of God. Amen. He told Moses to speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock. You got to speak to it. Amen. I mean, you ought to start practicing this tonight. Yeah, certain areas of your life. Because, you know, people have different goals and are going through different things, different challenges. But Are you weaponizing the struggle? You say the wrong thing, the struggle get bigger. You'll be empowering the struggle. Don't empower it. Weaponize the word of God in your favor against anything. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Hey, is that what kind of weaponizing is that? That means the devil, your opponent, has weapons too. And what you do, you are weaponizing your defense against the devil's offense. But you have to weaponize your offense, amen, against everything coming against you. That's what that scripture says. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Isn't that what the scripture said? People say, well, yeah, that's a good verse. Yeah, but are you using it? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Casting down imaginations. Imagination is a cluster of thoughts. It's not one thought. An imagination is a picture. It's like a movie. It's a cluster of thoughts. Y'all ever seen that? I thought it was kind of boring, but it was the way they did. The story of Walt Disney, where they show how they made the first Mickey Mouse movies. They'd have to make Mickey standing still. Then they have to make another picture with Mickey moving a little bit. And they had to put 1,000 pictures together to make one motion of Mickey moving. Y'all remember that? That was one of those documentaries about Walt Disney. So this happened in the studios, you know, of the Cinemagraph studios of Walt Disney, how he put together Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse, and it was so many captions. Are you with me? So this is how the imagination, Lord have mercy, help me Jesus. This is how imagination works. You got to get pictures of you. You, your picture, your face, with you, in your imagination. It's got to show you standing by the house. Not the salespeople, your picture. You got to program your imagination. You have a picture, of people telling you no. You have a picture of them handing you the key. See, in other words, you know, really, Pastor, but that ain't really real. It don't have to be real right now. It has to be a picture in you. It will become real. And then you weaponize it with the word of God. Lord have mercy. I'm helping somebody. Somebody out there getting this. Amen. Amen. Well, let me go for a second time. I'm having a good time. But in Mark Chapter 5. Did I say 5? I had said 5. That's good. If I didn't, y'all had helped the brother out. Amen. 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 What you do, Pastor, if you don't know like where scripture is? I ask somebody. Same thing I do with everything else. If I don't know, I either know or I don't know. If I don't know, I ask somebody. And then I say thank you. And then when they don't know something, they'll ask me. Can I get a witness? I'm going to do a teaching on humility. A lot of people don't know how to be humble. It takes training. If you're proud, prideful, you don't know how to be humble. I'm going to show you how to do it. It's a step-by-step process. Amen. Yeah. There'll be people be hungry and won't ask for food. I just don't believe in taking handouts. You're going to be hungry a lot. Amen. Amen, amen. I used to sell papers when I was a young fella, at Daylights. I learned real quick, if you don't ask people to buy, they're not likely to buy. You got to get out of yourself. Can your neighbor say, get out of yourself? You got to get out of yourself. I'm talking to somebody else. You need to get out of yourself and get out of your way so God can bless you. I was selling Florida Stars. And some of the people I thought wouldn't buy nothing, they bought two. See, you don't be trying to look at them and think, nah, she don't look like she want no Florida Star. Baby, come here. You got any Florida Stars? Yes, ma'am. Give me 4 of them. I'm going to get some for my... Amen. Hallelujah. Pride goeth before a fall. My God. Why was that in the message tonight? Oh, no, it's a whole lot of people, 1,000 of people watching. Now, the one with the issue of blood, let's wrap this up. Amen. This has been good. Have you been blessed? Amen. Now, you've got to get a revelation. Get what God is telling you. Make a note of write it because the enemy tried to take it from you. According to, you know, Mark 5, Mark 4, where it says Satan come to take away the word. That's always, whenever you get the word, it's precious, so you've got to value it, protect it. When you write it and you take notes and you capture not only the scripture that you're given, but the revelation that God gives you uniquely. Because, see, you're dealing with something, nobody else dealing with what you're dealing with. There's some unique things you're dealing with, nobody else dealing with what you're dealing with. You know, in principle, they may be, but specifically, they don't live with you and know your stuff, whatever. So God's giving you a word. He's giving the word and giving you a word. You want to record both of them. One of the things that when the word of God goes forth under the anointing, it's going to be revelation where God's going to speak to you personally. It's going to be biblical where you get it scripturally. That's where you go to the word, where you get understanding of the word. And then it's going to be prophetic, where God's preparing you for something that hadn't occurred yet. Amen. Okay, now, Mark 5, the woman with the issue of blood. And a certain woman, verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things with many physicians and spent all that she had, was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, verse 28, I want to show you that in a different light before I close. Do you know what this woman did in verse 28? Let me read it. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, the word says, she heard of Jesus when she had heard, verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, what did she hear of Jesus? Whatever she heard, it gave her the knowledge that she could be healed by him. It gave her the faith that he could do it, that he had the ability and the willingness to do it. And she spoke based on believing that he could and he would. Those are weaponizing factors. See, the weaponizing factor is something you have to do. And she weaponized her faith. See, in other words, what she heard of Jesus came in the press, that produced faith in God. Now, you can take this and apply this to other scriptures. You can go through and look at the pattern. The pattern, Lord, thank you, Jesus. God operates in patterns. God's very consistent. He's not kind of trying to confuse his children. So, what she did was, those of you who are on Facebook Live, taking the pay attention, get this. You're growing. You go and look at the other scriptures, the healing scriptures, like the centurion soldier. I want you to see the point at which the person weaponized their faith. Now, why am I saying this? Because having faith is not enough. There's a lot of people got faith and they're not operating by it. Having faith is not enough, but you should have it. It comes from the word. There are people who know the word and they know enough word to transform their life 100 times over. Now, in that statement that I just made to transform their life, what will happen is the word they know, they must incorporate it to transform their thinking. They must meditate on and adopt the thinking of the word of God to transform their life. That will be followed by a different thought life in their imagination, which will be followed by confession and weaponizing of the word that transformed them. This is a lot of stuff, baby. The word that transforms you weaponizes you. The word that transforms you structures your imagination. The word of God that transforms you and structures your imagination creates the weapons that you release against any enemy, any opponent. They all work together. It's all right. It's so consistent. It's consistent with all of the people. I mean, even Rahab the harlot, she believed something and she said something. She weaponized that word of God. She weaponized the word. The word was, when she knew who they were, she weaponized that thing in her conversation with them. See, I know who y'all, you guys are. If y'all are who I know you are, because I know who around here, that means this place getting ready to go down. She believed that with all her heart, that God was getting ready to destroy that city where she was. They knew she knew. She said, well, they said, well, let me tell you something. You good, you got it. We busted. Since you know, you're going to be blessed. Get your family, better have them all back here. If you don't have them back here, it's going to be on your hands, not ours. See, you follow? She was already at the point. Now I got to go back to one issue with the issue of blood, Sister Darlene. Rahab the harlot, she had a knowledge. Oh, my God. She had a saving knowledge. She had a weaponizing knowledge. But she had to do something with it. When she spoke it, they said, all right, but you got to be here at a certain time. You're not here. We kill all of them. It's going to be on your hands. See, she had to act out. She had to act out the words of the weaponization. What? Act out the words of the weaponization? What is that? I don't know. The weaponization is the process of the weapon being used to do what it's designed to do. That's what that means. You're just making that up, Pastor. Sure I am. That's what anointed teachers do. You make up words and stuff. But it's a derivative of the word weapon. Weapon, weaponized, weapon, weapon. Weaponization. Is that in Webster's dictionary? I don't know. Is Webster in the Bible? The Holy Ghost in the Bible. Amen. Let's finish. Come on, y'all. Let's finish. Ooh, are you glad to see? Oh, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All them people. Lost their loved ones. Premature. All those people. Have mercy on them. Their families, have mercy on them. Now, in this time. Ooh, Jesus. So the woman with the issue of blood, verse 27, Sister Darlene, 27, that's where I was. 5:27. When she had heard of Jesus, the word said, be ye not what? Hearers only, but what? Doers. See, she heard, the word says she heard. She heard of Jesus. Have you heard of Jesus? Have you heard of him in prosperity? Have you heard of him in divine healing? Have you heard of him in peace of mind? Have you heard of him in overcoming? Have you heard of him in head and not the tail? Have you heard of him in love? Amen. Well, weaponize it. Weaponize. No word of God is void of power. There was something about the power of the word I wanted to say to you before my time went out. But what occurs is the word of God that you are weaponizing is full of power. Now, I want you to get this, because this is what happens a lot of times with people with faith, because we emphasize faith in God. Because many people say, well, you know, hey, I got faith. And you get caught having faith in your faith and not faith in God. Your faith got to be in God, in God's word. God's word is full of power. The power to do what it says, it's in that word. It's a living thing. So this woman, when she said this, when she said what she said, she was in faith. She was in faith in verse 27. When she had heard that Jesus came in the press behind, okay, well, it said she suffered many things of many positions. And when she had heard of Jesus, okay, when she had heard of Jesus, faith is there. The faith is present now. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, before she came in the press and touched his garment, she said, verse 28, if I may but touch his clothes, read that with me. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be whole. I shall be whole. This woman weaponized. She weaponized her faith. Now, I'm going to close with this. Okay. The woman had been to the doctor. What you think she went to the doctor for? To be whole. She was going to the doctor to be made whole, healed. And then when she got faith, when she heard of Jesus, her imagination grasped the fact that if she could touch Jesus, she would be made whole. That was on the inside of her. Her faith, saints, you have to have a picture. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. You can't have faith without hope. Hope is a picture. The picture of her being whole was on the inside of her now. I remember the testimony Dr. Hagin told the doctor. He told a preacher who was visiting him when he was dying. You know, he was sick when he was dying. He said, if this scripture is true, I can live. He said the exact word. He said, if this scripture is true, right here. He took him to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25. He said, if this scripture, he was telling the preacher this. He wasn't even a pastor then. He said, if this is true, I can live. Well, buddy, you're the one need the picture. You're the one that needs the picture. You're the one that needs the weapon. You're the one that needs the healing. That preacher wasn't sick. You were. He was the one sick. He said, if this is true, in other words, he know I can be whole. It is the will of God. If this is true, the will of God for me to be healed that's God's will. So he had grabbed hold of the will, but you got to do more than that. When you grab a hold of the will, you believe the will, you have the will, you have faith in the will, but you got to weaponize the will. You got to weaponize. Believe in your same way you got saved, you weaponize salvation. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is weaponized. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation manifestation. Saints, I tell you this as I close. A lot of times you want to go on too fast. The kid that you have revelation, it's enough power in there to do what you want done. But you're sold on going on to something new. You just want new stuff. Oh, it's some new stuff, but get what God has. So anyway, in this scripture, it says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and why sayest thou, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter thy faith, and the weaponizing of it. Daughter thy faith, and the weaponizing of it. He did say thy faith. But when the woman had the faith, she said with her own mouth, I got to do something with this faith. I got to release it. I got to touch the hem of his garment. Isn't that what she said? But that was the faith process. The faith process has a weaponizing segment. I'm going to just stop right there. Give the Lord a praise. I'll pick up that next time. Amen. Ooh, Jesus.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening. And join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.theairchurch.org. That's the HEIR church.org.